Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're speaking from Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 38. So please repeat after me. Shita Vishika Hato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Paripluta Atatayano Me Prasabham Abhisasara Madvadhartham Sa Bhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatir Mukunda Shita Vishikahato Vishina Damshaha Shita Vishikahato Vishina Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasada Madvadhartham Prasabham Abhisasada Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Prabhuji's. Shita Vishikahato Vashina Damshaha Kshachita Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasada Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Shita Vishika Hato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasara Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Shita Vishikahato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasara Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Matajis. Shita Vishikahato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasara Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Shita Vishikahato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome Prasabham Abhisasara Madvadhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatid Mukundaha Shita Vishikahato Vashirna Damshaha Kshataja Padipluta Atatayanome prasabham abhisasadam advadhartam. Sabhavatu me bhagavan gatid mukundaha. Okay, word meanings. Shita, sharp. Vishika, arrows. Hataha, wounded by. Vishirnadam shaha, scattered shield. Kshataja, by wounds. Padiplutaha, smeared with blood. Atatayanaha, the great aggressor. Me, my. Prasabham, in an angry mood. Abhisasara, begin to move on. Matvadaartam, for the purpose of killing me. Saha, he. Bhavatu, may become. Me, my. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Gatihi, destination. Mukundaha, who awards salvation. Translation. May he, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield he charged me as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. Please repeat. May he, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield, he charged me as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The dealings of Lord Sri Krishna and Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Sri Krishna appeared to be partial to Arjuna and in enmity with Bhishma Dev. But factually, all this was especially meant to show special favor to Bhishma Dev, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee even in the garb of an enemy. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy, nor can a so-called enemy harm him because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still, he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy and rebukes him from a superior position, although no one can be superior to the Lord. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. And those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. Bhishma Dev played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the body of the Lord so that to the common eyes it appeared that the Lord was wounded. But factually, all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. The all-spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Had it been so, Bhishma Dev would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. Had Bhishma Dev been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna would have annihilated him without even moving. There was no need to come before Bhishma Dev with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa, or relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. The Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishma Dev. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhishma Dev as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. Apparently, his determination was to kill Bhishma Dev, but actually it was to please him as a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all conditioned souls. The impersonalist desires salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here Bhishma Dev aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire for this. Om Agyantimidandasya Gnanjana Shlakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shigudo Shiyuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagnadaganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Patijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Dadha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamsta Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Dadha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Godangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Purushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakal Padadubhyashta Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we see in this beautiful verse and purport the principle of rasa is being explained by Srila Prabhupada. And of course the principle of rasa is most intimately, or you could say intricately, described in the Nectar of Devotion. So we're going to speak from the Nectar of Devotion today. And everything that I'm saying is going to come directly from the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. So it's very interesting because this pastime of Bhishma Dev leaving his body in the presence of Krishna, Krishna mercifully coming amidst all of the devotees to see his great devotee leave at this most important time. Bhishma Dev lying on the bed of arrows and Krishna walking up right to his side. So this is described in Nectar Devotion as an example of Krishna's wonderful qualities. We could hear in Nectar Devotion describes Krishna has how many qualities? 64. Yeah. And so one of those is to be the well-wisher of his devotees. And as Prabhupada mentioned in today's purport, this wonderful, Prabhupada reveals the inner heart of Krishna. That why did Krishna grab the chariot wheel and charge towards Bhishma? Well, because Bhishma wanted to see that, right? Bhishma wanted to see the beautiful form of Krishna covered in blood, struck by his arrows. It's all part of this mood of chivalry. And in order to show this great mercy to Bhishma and reciprocate with Bhishma's unconditional, selfless love towards Krishna, Krishna broke his own vow and actually participated in the battle. So it's a very wonderful thing. And so this is the well-wishing of Krishna towards his devotees, that he's willing to break his own vow in order to please them. That's how much he loves the devotees. He's bhaktavatsala, right? That he'll put aside his own vows and everything just to somehow or other give pleasure to the devotee and reciprocate with the devotee. So Krishna is a wonderful person. He's so selfless. And he's so concerned with his devotees and making them happy, making them satisfied. When we study Krishna's 64 qualities, what we're doing is we're actually getting an insight into Krishna's personality. You know? And as Prabhupada mentioned at the end of the purport, this is really what personalists do. We meditate upon the personality of Godhead and we interact with him. And so these 64 qualities, they're an open window into who Krishna is as a person. Just like we all know each other here in New Dwarka mostly. And we have some experience with each other. And you enter into relationships, you get to learn each other's qualities. So as personalists, we should learn Krishna's qualities. And you learn them by hearing about them, but also by seeing them in action. And in this pastime, we see Krishna's wonderful qualities in action. Also, this pastime is used as an example of Krishna's compassion. I'll actually read from the Nectar Devotion. It says, not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. This is describing Krishna. Krishna came up to the side of Bhishma Dev and he's standing there next to him. And so Krishna was shedding tears and he forgot himself in his compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. That's very interesting. So actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So we see that we have Krishna, Rukmini Dwarkadish here. So it's the feminine potency of Krishna. Let's just think about this for a moment. Krishna is wonderful, right? A personality. And Radha and Krishna, they're simultaneously one and different. And Srimati Radharani is really, she's Krishna's compassion. The feminine potency is Krishna's compassion. It's the most loving, kind, and merciful side of Krishna. And therefore, if you want Krishna's mercy, the best way to do it, if you want to access that quality of Krishna's compassion, you go to the feminine potency and you pray. Right? And when she feels merciful to you, then Krishna will shower you with compassion. It'll rain down upon you more than you could ever conceive. Because Krishna is like a rain cloud, like a dark blue rain cloud, right? Illuminated by lightning. And when Krishna feels towards you mercy, especially when you please the spiritual master, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, then that natural compassion of Krishna will rain down upon you. And you'll be drowning in it. It's just like if a fish is thrown in water. This water doesn't drown you, it doesn't harm you. It helps you breathe. It helps you feel free. It's the bliss. It's the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's the ocean of Bhakti Ras, the flavor of Krishna's personality and interacting with Krishna. And you breathe it in through your nose and into your lungs. And then again, you spit it out through your mouth in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Purnam Rita Svadhanam, you taste that name, and then it's constantly that ocean is constantly increasing, step after step. Right? So this beauty of Krishna, this personality of Krishna, this wonder of Krishna, it's never ending. And a devotee is one who tastes that beauty and tastes that personality forever. Forever relishing it into eternity. So also, it's interesting because Nectar Devotion describes Bhishmadev and his rasa with Krishna. We know there's five primary rasas. And Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion that Bhishma, as a member of the Kuru dynasty, he's in the servitude mood. He's in the mood of a servant. And actually, he's one of the constant associates, is what Srila Prabhupada calls them. There's some also in Dwarka, and there's some in Hastinapur, etc. For example, Vidura is considered a constant associate. And so these are devotees that kind of follow Krishna around. Prabhupada mentions like secretaries. So if you've seen, when Prabhupada would walk and many of his disciples would be with him, they'd travel with him. Wherever Prabhupada went, you would see there'd be like 20 people around him, walking with him. It's the same with Krishna. Right? So when Krishna is walking through Hastinapur, there's a retinue of devotees with him. And you'll always see Bhishmadev there. And Prabhupada mentions that these devotees, they're eager to perform service. So just like with Prabhupada's walking with his retinue, he may all of a sudden decide, can somebody get me this or water? And someone runs off and gets it. That's the mood of Bhishmadev. So entering, and then we hear that in addition to these five basic rasas, there's also the seven secondary rasas, right? There's laughing. That's a very beautiful part of Nectar Devotion, the joyful joking of Krishna. No one is funnier than Krishna. And you'll never laugh as hard as you would when you're laughing with Krishna and joking with Krishna. Yeah? You see these great comedians who can make, thousands of people roar with laughter in an auditorium. Krishna, that's just one tiny drop of Krishna's humor. Right? Krishna can make the whole universe laugh. Yeah? And then astonishment, and then there's chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. So this quality of chivalry, it actually comes in four different types of chivalry. There is the chivalry, which is called Dhanavira. All these are called Vira, which means heroism. Like you interact with Krishna on the liberated platform in a mood of heroism. You're displaying heroic qualities. And so one of them is Dhanavira. And the Nectar Devotion gives some examples of this, that when Maharaj Nanda, when Krishna was, it was his birthday, like we see in this picture here, where he's being bathed in Vrindavan. Maharaj Nanda gave a huge amount of cows away. Godhana Rakowala, right? Krishna's described as the protector of Maharaj Nanda's cows. Yeah? So this incredible wealth of cows, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cows in Vrindavan. And this was actually wealth within the Vedic culture. And in Krishna's birthday, Maharaj Nanda was just giving it away. Huge amounts of cows to where the brahmanas were actually not, you know, exaggerating, but seriously were prompted to say that Maharaj Nanda is as charitable as Maharaj Nriga and Maharaj Prithu, you know, these great personalities in the Shastra. Right? So this is like Dhanavira. He's showing his great charity for the pleasure of Krishna, to give happiness, to glorify Krishna. And then this is a beautiful one. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he entered the Rajasuya sacrifice with the Pandavas, they were in hiding and they were in poverty, right? They had nothing. They're on the run, basically. But when he came into the arena, he saw beautiful Krishna, Krishna and Balaram sitting there. That's a surprise, right? And immediately when he saw this, he decided in his mind to give charity to Krishna. And in his mind, he garlanded Krishna with a giant garland that went down to his knees. Yeah, and he gave Krishna many fully decorated elephants and chariots. And he gave Krishna jewels and cloth. And so he was worshipping Krishna in his mind. And so this is Dhanavira. It's like he was giving Krishna everything he could have and displaying his heroic devotion. And then we see the example of Maharaj Bali. So imagine beautiful Vamanadeva dressed as a young Brahmin, and it's described that his hands, in the Nectar Devotions, described his hands are reddish like kumkum from interacting with the goddess of fortune. So you've got this beautiful golden Brahmin with reddish tinged hands on his palms. And Maharaj Bali was so charitable, even against the advice of Shukracharya, that when Vamanadeva came before him, he put forward his hand for charity. You know? And so this is described as Dhanavira. Imagine that your devotion is so great to Krishna. Krishna owns everything. Everything belongs to Krishna. You can't really give anything to Krishna, but you're so charitable towards Krishna, and just as he reciprocates with Bhishmadeva, he wants to reciprocate, and so the Supreme Lord who owns everything puts out his hand in charity. You know? And that's that instance of Bali Maharaj putting out his hand is an example of Vamanadeva putting out his hand is an example of Bali Maharaj's tremendous devotion. It's like his success. You know, look what he can do. See how he moves the Supreme Lord with his devotion. So this is the perfection, right? Also, there's Dayavira, which means to show mercy to Krishna. Prabhupada doesn't elaborate on that one. And then there's Dharmavira. And again, we see Maharaj Yudhisthira as an example. Prabhupada says, Dharmaviras are produced after going through authoritative scriptures, following moral principles, being faithful and tolerant, and controlling the senses. So you're going to follow the principles of religion, but you're doing it for Krishna. You can see Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was extremely strict in following Dharma, but everything he did for the pleasure of Krishna. You know? So that's his heroism in offering Dharma to Krishna. Prabhupada also warns that if you don't offer it to Krishna, it's just material piety. Right? And then, actually, it's kind of funny. It mentions that Maharaj Yudhisthira did so many sacrifices that King Indra was constantly coming from the heavenly planets. So much so that Mother Sachi, his wife, was actually always sitting like this. You know, it mentions her hands are always on her face. And she's pining away for Indra. Oh, where is he? When's he going to come back, right? So Maharaj Yudhisthira is doing that many sacrifices for the pleasure of Krishna. And then finally we see that there is the fighting with Krishna, which is called Yudhavira. Yeah, and we see mostly this is shown by the cowherd boys. Yeah, they're always, you know, oh, come on, Krishna, you know, you want to fight? Let's go. You think you're powerful? Wait until you see my power. And they demonstrate their agility and their fighting prowess with each other, and they constantly challenge each other. It's mentioned, this is from the Nectar Devotion, this is from Cowherd Boy. My dear Madhava, you are very restless because you think that no one can defeat you. But if you do not flee from here, then I shall show you how I can defeat you. And my friends will be very satisfied to see this. All right, I'm going to beat you in front of everyone. All right? It doesn't mention, at least. Then here's another quote. It says, Krishna and Sridhama were very intimate friends, yet Sridhama, out of anger with Krishna, challenged him. When both of them began to fight, all the friends on the bank of the Yamuna enjoyed the wonderful fighting of the two friends. So all of a sudden, you know, they start wrestling and everyone gathers around, right? Just like in school. You know, go, go, Sridhama, go! You know, Krishna, fight him, beat him. Yeah? And so this is interesting. They prepared some arrows for mock fighting and Krishna began throwing his arrows at Sridhama. Sridhama began blocking these arrows, whirling his pole, and by Sridhama's chivalrous activities, Krishna became very satisfied. Such mock fighting generally takes place among chivalrous persons and creates wonderful excitement for all viewers. So here Krishna, he makes these little arrows, you know, out of sticks or whatever's there in the forest, and he's throwing them at Sridhama. And the cowherd boys, they carry sticks, right? That we mentioned before for taming, you know, moving the cattle and things like that. Also for protecting from dogs and wolves and all that stuff. So they have all the coward boys have sticks. So Krishna's throwing them and Sridhama is taking the staff and like blocking them. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Right? And it was so amazing, his skill, that everyone was like, wow, Sridhama! You know, and he's standing there whoosh, 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 like a kung fu movie, right? And above all, Krishna was satisfied. Krishna's like, yeah, you know, this is amazing. What a great exhibition of chivalry, right? And then here's another one. It says, one friend challenged Krishna thus, my dear friend Damodar, you are expert only in eating. You have defeated Subal only because he is weak and you adopted cheating means. Don't advertise yourself to be a great fighter by such action. You have advertised yourself as a serpent, and I am a peacock who will now defeat you. Right? So, the little boys, they would always imitate the birds and everything. Prabhupada mentions the onomatopoeic sounds, right? So, you know, they'd be dancing and pretending to be peacocks. So peacocks are the enemy of the snakes, right? They very viciously attack the snakes. So Krishna, he better get ready. Right, this cowherd boy is coming. There's another interesting story. Stoka Krishna, who's another cowherd boy, he got in trouble with his dad because his dad kind of chastised him that you shouldn't fight with Krishna because Krishna is Krishna. You know, he's worshipable. It's not appropriate, you know. But so he stopped and Krishna would keep on challenging him. You know, hey, come on, Stoka Krishna, let's fight. And Stoka Krishna is like, no, you know, I can't fight. And then And so he would tolerate all of the challenges, but then eventually Krishna became so persistent that he couldn't tolerate it anymore. So he took his stick and he began whirling it dexterously, you know, like he's standing there and, you know, swirling his stick around and showing what a great fighter he is, right? So these are some of the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of the cowherd boys. Prabhupada mentions there, Nectar Devotion, in these chivalrous activities, only Krishna's friends can be the opponents. Krishna's enemies could never actually be his opponents. Therefore, this challenging by Krishna's friends is called devotional service and chivalrous activities. So Prabhupada mentions that in today's purport, that really, you know, Krishna has no enemies. You know, he's the Supreme Lord. He sees everyone with kindness and compassion and love. And those few individuals who are antagonistic towards Krishna, there's no need for Krishna to get involved. Material nature can destroy them easily. Krishna really only fights with his devotees, you know, for his own pleasure, you know, like really fighting. And therefore, we should understand that when you see the Supreme Lord fighting with the devotee, it's something that's totally beyond material nature. Even when you see Krishna spilling blood and, you know, he may appear to be angry or even he may appear to be in distress, it's actually completely Krishna's mercy in his interaction with his devotee. In fact, Prabhupada mentioned in today's purport that if that wasn't the case, why would Bhishma worship him? You know? Because it's completely transcendental, Bhishma is actually worshipping him. He knows he's the Supreme Lord. And so Bhishma, he's also fighting with Krishna. Prabhupada mentions, the Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishmadev. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhishmadev as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. So that's from today's purport. So you could see this example that, you know, when you have a romantic exchange between two people, and they're, imagine, you know, these novels or movies, and they're running towards each other, you know, my beloved, and they're running, oh, I can't wait. And they, you know, it's like almost like a trope, right, that they're running across a field or something, and they can't see anything or anyone around them. Right? They're just so focused on this moment of meeting that the world disappears and it's just them. So that's the mood of Bhishma and Krishna. That the world disappeared and it was just Bhishma and Krishna. So much so that even when Arjuna grabbed Krishna and tried to restrain him, Krishna didn't even notice. He wasn't even paying attention. And even it mentions in yesterday's verse, his outer garment fell. And he didn't even notice. The Supreme Lord didn't notice. Right? And his pastimes. Because he was so absorbed in this moment with Bhishmadev. This moment of loving reciprocation with his devotee. Very beautiful. And of course, it's almost like a dance, you know? They're fighting very intensely. You know, I'm not sure if you know, but when you're shooting arrows at someone, it takes a lot of concentration, right? Especially if they're moving. And so Bhishmadev is concentrating and shooting his arrows, trying to get into Krishna. And even when they shoot arrows at each other, you have to get within the armor. You know, you have to shoot through the links in the armor. So it's very intense. And then Krishna himself is trying to maneuver the chariot away from the arrows. So it's an extremely intense moment when two people are fighting. There's a tremendous amount of tension and focus that's there. Even if you've been in a fist fight. Anyone been in a fist fight here? Maybe not since you were younger, hopefully. But you'll know, especially the Prabhus might have had this experience. Isn't it when you're in a fight, the whole world disappears and you're just struggling with that person. You don't even think about anything else. So it's the same thing, this very intense moment between Bhishma and Krishna. And so Prabhupada mentions in today's purport, this is very beautiful, I wanted to read it again. There was no need to come before Bhishmadev with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa or relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. So this idea that Krishna and the devotee become glorified together in this exchange, it reminded me of a quote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29. This is from the purport. The very phrase, Krishna consciousness, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in Him. The Lord says here directly, Maite, they are in me. So that's what Prabhupada is discussing. Krishna says, they're in me and I am them and in them, right? Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This is also explains the words, Yeyatamam prabhadyante tamstadaiva bhajamiham. Whoever surrenders unto me proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. He says, so we reach our perfection when we become like gold, right? When we become completely pure in our loving service to Krishna. Anyabhilashita shunyam. When is gold considered valuable? When it's pure. Pure gold. So shunyam means completely clean, pure of what? Other desires. Any other desire except to please Krishna and give happiness to Krishna. Right? And so this, when we become perfect pure gold, then Krishna as a diamond, he'll come and sit within our heart. Yeah, and he'll interact with us. And so we see that this relationship between Bhishma and Krishna, it's like the gold and the diamond coming together. And so they both become very, very beautiful in the midst of each other. Okay. So it's 8:15. I just wanted to, I'll ask if there's any questions. But first, I wanted to say something, is that I'm going to be leaving today. Many of you know, of course. I'm going to be moving back to Northern California to take care of my family. So as it was mentioned in today's class, that the compassionate aspect of Krishna is Srimati Radharani, or the feminine side, the feminine potency. And so since I have all of the Vaishnavas here, I would like to put my head at your lotus feet and pray for you and ask you, beg you, actually I'm begging every single one of you, to please take a moment to pray to Rukmini Dwarkadish for me, that they can be merciful to me. And I'm sure that if you pray to Krishna and Srimati Radharani or Srimati Rukmini Devi, that Krishna will be super kind to me and super merciful. So that's the greatest thing that I can, the greatest benediction to have. And so I would like to beg that from you. So having said that, are there any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Satchitanoi, Prabhu.
That you remind us here and that we're always there are well wishes for you, and we appreciate your service very much. And I am very happy every time. I told you many times that whenever you were going to give class, I was just right there like a bumblebee, and I hope I can hear more from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu. Please pray for me. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Sorry to see you go. My question is this. So Bhishma Dev was in the... His primary rasa was servitude. Mm-hmm. And he also had that secondary rasa of chivalry. Mm-hmm. So are there any devotees that just have primary rasa and they don't have any secondary rasa? And the second part of the question is, are there any devotees that are just in the secondary rasa and not in the primary rasa?
In regards to the second half, I could answer confidently no, that you have to be in a primary rasa. As far as the primary rasas without secondary rasas, I'm inclined to say no, but I don't have a Shastric reference for that, so I won't say that. But of course, you know, it's if you look in the Nectar Devotion in the section about the rasabhas, mixed rasas, it's called, then it mentions there which rasas go with which primary ras. And so you could see that certain primary rasas are connected naturally to certain secondary rasas, and they go together. For example, servitude is connected nicely to chivalry. So it's perfectly like harmonious for Bhishma Dev to show these qualities of vira or heroism, even though he's in a position of servitude. But whether or not you can be, say, in neutrality ras without expressing any kind of secondary ras, I can't say for sure, because I don't have a scriptural reference. I don't want to say that. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.